finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 2024 NFL football season. Practice is underway. Training camp underway in Green Bay as the Green Bay Packers kick things off on Monday. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined by Packers news reporters Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood. Day one of practice is already in the books here. The Green Bay Packers have begun preparations for the season. And there's one story coming into the season, and there is one story right now that I think everybody is focused on. That is where we'll start as we sort of give some takeaways here from the very, very earliest parts of the Packers practice schedule this year. Tom, it's Jordan Love season, and he has not yet signed a contract extension. He did not participate on Monday. We learned on Monday that he will not be practicing until this deal is done. I know everybody thinks it's close. I know that the message here is not to worry yet, but I don't know if people were prepared to hear the word hold out getting thrown around a little bit. So give me your takeaway of what you saw Monday and if this matches what your expectations were.
Yeah, just from what I had been hearing, they were still working on it as of last week. And, you know, the Packers were also working on the Kenny Clark deal. So I don't think there was this panic, you know, last week that they needed to do it right at the second. I think they were probably close enough that they could get it done the first week. But what tells me that it's going to get done is, you know, no general manager goes up to the podium and says it's close. You know, they don't say that unless it really is, because then they're putting themselves out there. You know, my guess is maybe they've finally agreed on how much guaranteed money there's going to be in there. And now they have to figure out structure and, you know, some salary cap stuff and who knows what else. But I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the week, at least, maybe in the next couple of days, that they get it done. I just, you know, you saw the deals, the Jared Goffs, the Trevor Lawrences. Those deals just got done. There's a price everybody has to pay, and I don't think the Packers are fighting that right now.
Spoon, what you said about it being the end of the week, that's, I think, when it needs to get done. The fact that it's not done day one of training camp, when they're not in pads. You know, JR, when you said at the beginning, welcome to training. Yes, this is training camp, but I kind of scoff every time we call this training camp. This is the offseason. This is an extension of the offseason program. They're not in pads. They're not actually playing football. Today was a 90-minute refresher of what they went over in OTAs. It doesn't matter that Jordan Love was there for that or not. It just doesn't. Now, once they get pads on and they start playing actual football, then it becomes significant missing those practices. Those are important. Those are lifeblood of your preseason preparation practices. I mean, you got to have those. So there's still some time. I think that, you know, on one hand, I think it's going to get done because Ryan Gutekunst knows it has to get done. As he said today, Jordan Love's the franchise quarterback. He's the quarterback of the future. They're not sitting around debating that anymore. They're sold in on that idea. This is more structural stuff. One thing that Ryan Gutekunst said, and he's right, is that this is a big deal. Big deals take time. It's not something that it's kind of like, you know, turning an aircraft carrier, not a speedboat. It's going to take a little bit of time. But I also feel like if it was just the formality at this point, if it was just paperwork, send it in, maybe there wouldn't be that much of a hardline stance on Jordan Love's side, especially because he went through the entire offseason program. no different than today's structure of practice. No pads, kind of a walkthrough, jog through format. It was pretty light. It's the same type of thing. I wonder how close they are to the immediate, but it's going to get done. Bottom line, it's going to get done. It needs to get done before they're in pads. That's that really, to me, is the first real deadline.
Yeah, Tom, you had mentioned Brian Gutekunst wouldn't bring it up. The player, you know, when Jordan Love is asked about it, he kind of plays coy. You know, every vibe around this is that it is pretty much on the doorstep of being completed. What Tom, just to, it might be easier to deal with the anxiety of Packers fans to know what the worst case scenario could be. What could possibly hold this up? You know, is there something that still could potentially make this stretch further into training camp or even threaten the preseason and everything that comes after that? And what is the likelihood that something like that could become a stick in the mud?
Well, the fight the Packers have with every single guy they re-sign is that they want a huge signing bonus. They want a deal in cash. They are the guy who brings the briefcase full of cash to the deal. You know, they're not the guy who goes to the bank and gets a loan and says, you know, we'll pay you this much then and that much then. It's in their best interest to deal with cash because they kind of go on a year-to-year basis. They don't have some guy, you know, who can make it up 5 years from now by, you know, selling his auto dealership or whatever to make it make things work. So they like to deal in the present. So, but not all guys like that. Some players, they want guarantees, bigger guarantees throughout the contract. They want base salaries guaranteed. They want roster bonuses guaranteed because that also gives them security. So if Jordan Love has a $20 million guaranteed base salary in 2027, he's not getting cut. If he gets a $100 million signing bonus now and has a $12 million, it doesn't matter in 2027. He has a $50 million base salary. They can cut him and it doesn't hurt him. They've already paid the guaranteed money. So that's the fight that they have with agents. And I suspect, you know, they probably, I'm going to guess that they compromised a little bit and there's some guarantees in the future. I think with a quarterback, you have to do that. But that's generally what would blow it up is if all of a sudden they were just like, okay, we can't deal with the structure.
Ryan, we learned on Sunday, the day before training camp began, that the Packers did have an extension already signed. And that, you know, it wasn't Jordan Love, it was Kenny Clark. Who now to be 28 years old and on your third pro sports contract, but that is where the Packers are with Clark. It sounds like this was relatively expected. It was off my radar. I'll be honest. I hadn't been thinking a lot about Kenny Clark, given maybe the Jordan Love of it all, maybe sort of obscuring other possible storylines. But give me your thoughts on that deal. And I know you got a chance to talk to Kenny Clark on Monday.
My one thought, what I wondered this offseason was whether or not a deal would get done. Now it sounds like it's been in the works. Kenny Clark said that there's been talk since combine. It's been a marathon and it got done at the finish line of training camp here, but he was going into the final year of his contract. This is a strong defensive line. Kenny Clark's going into his age 29 season. And to be clear, 2023 was his best year. He had a career high 8 sacks. If you count the half sack he had in the playoffs, 44 and a half pressures, as good as ever against the run. He is a special player in the trenches. But special players, especially in the trenches, they cost money. So I wondered if the Packers would fork over the type of money. Now, it turns out, you know, his $64 million over 3 years, the new money, $21.3 million a year, it doesn't put Kenny Clark in the top 10 among defensive linemen. I mean, it's good. I think it's good value with this contract. And probably, you know, he's right on the fringe of being a top 10 guy at his position in the league. It's a fair value for the team. But when I asked Kenny Clark about having a third contract, and that is rare, especially with the Packers, that you don't, regardless of position, you don't see a lot of third contract guys. His face lit up. He understands what that means for his legacy here. Kenny Clark's going to be a future Packers Hall of Famer. That's just where his career is headed. And getting that third contract really gives him that chance to cement his legacy in that way. So as good as this defensive line is, and it's very good, it's the unquestioned strength of this defense, whether it's 3-4 last year, 4-3 this year. As good as it is, there's just not a guy on this defensive line like Kenny Clark. They can do everything that Kenny Clark does. So, yeah, the fact that he's still young, he's still playing at a high level, kind of, and I think in the Packers' perspective, kind of once that figure was what it made sense.
So you just said 4-3, and that, you know, it occurs to me this is the first, I guess, real glimpse you're getting of Jeff Hafley. I mean, you could probably have intimated some things prior to now, but this is a new defense, and though day one of practice is all about a 90-minute walkthrough and not much more, I wonder, Tom, if there's anything that you gleaned from day one. We could talk about the injuries in a second. That'll be a big storyline too, but what caught your eye? What were the takeaways here from the first day at the Don Hutson Center? Or, well, yeah, this was at the Don Hutson Center, right?
Ray Nitschke Field.
What caught my eye was how unusual it was to see three linebackers on the field when they went to their base defense. It just kind of caught me off guard, and I was like, oh, this is a new, nickel kind of defense. And then I'm like, oh, no, that's right. This is their base defense now. It's a 4-3. And I would say the other is rookie Javon Bullard was in with Xavier McKinney in the with the starters. Eric Stokes was starting ahead of Carrington Valentine, although that's I think that's been happening through OTAs. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah McDuffie and Eric Wilson were out there too. Now, all that's going to – that stuff will change. It's all based on the offseason, and it could change. But it was just different to see that. And to see a three linebacker set and guys running a different defense.
From what I could gather, it was Edrin Cooper next to Quay Walker and Nickel, and then when they were in the base, it was McDuffie and Wilson. And I'm with you. I think it's going to all get sorted out. But if they're mostly in nickel, that's two starters in Bullard and Cooper, day one starters. In their preferred defensive setup that they got from the second round. Pretty good use of a second round. You know what stood out to me? Rashawn Gary firing off a three-point stance. Oh, my goodness. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise because he played with his hand in the dirt in college and was a first-round pick. But my goodness, even without pads, I mean, the first time I saw him shoot out of a three-point stance, I'm like, oh, he's going to like this defense. It's just – I don't know if it's the leverage. He's in that track stance, and it just – it's different. So that keep an eye on that. He's an explosive guy.
Yeah, Sean Clifford, even without pads on, has got a his eyes have to be pretty big when Rashawn Gary is coming at you.
Goodness,
Ryan, the injury situation is something that I know is going to be an early storyline in any camp. The Packers, I think, are mostly okay. You're missing Tucker Kraft with a pectoral injury, so that's a big deal. Jaden Reed is missing. A lot of talk in the offseason about how great this receiver room is, and Jaden Reed, their leading pass catcher last year, he starts the year sidelined a little bit with an issue. It doesn't sound like that toe injury is going to be that bad, but he's not here on day one, so I guess that's something to note. Corey Ballantyne was out. Kitana Oladapo, we knew, would not be there. Also, Marshawn Lloyd, the backup running back, the rookie running back that was just drafted, out with a hip injury. That sounds a little alarming. I don't know. What are the injury takeaways for you? What really stands out or raises alarm bells?
I think Marshawn Lloyd being out with a hip was the most surprising. You know, Jaden Reed's got the toe, but we saw what Jaden Reed can do. That'll be fine. I think as a whole, the Packers absolutely make this trade. They take all the injuries they have for having Zach Tom back.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
That's the biggest news, right, is Zach Tom, and they're going to be careful with him the first week, I'm sure, of camp. But just having him back at practice, being able to move around, he's going to be good to go. Spoon, I know you spoke with – Zach Tom more about his injury ordeal, but just getting him back it's a huge deal.
Yeah. You know, he was really excited to be back. I think they'll be very careful with him. He said he's about 85% back on his right side, which is where he tore his pec. You know, considering he thought he was done for the year when he was lifting and injured himself and thought it was that bad, and it did require surgery. But whatever they did, and whoever did it, I guess it was a doctor out in New York, they did a pretty good job because he's out there. Yeah. And I don't know what he'll do when the pads get on, you know, but I think he's going to practice, or, you know, maybe they just keep doing individual drills until they can measure him back to close to 90 or 100%. I don't know. But just the fact that he's back there, he looked pretty normal. So that was a big deal.
Speaking of injuries, Ryan, I want to give you a chance to talk about your conversation with Eric Stokes. That was a story that ran a few days ago at PackersNews.com. You're talking about him coming back from pretty very significant injuries. What was that conversation like? Because I know that's a guy that a lot of people are going to be watching this year. If he can be a contributor, if he maybe is a starting cornerback, that's a question mark. What did you learn from that whole conversation?
Going through an injury in the NFL's hell. I mean, that's kind of the major takeaway. And that was where the origin of the story idea kind of came from, because when these guys go through an injury and they miss time, they're kind of forgotten. And I think I see it in my Twitter feed all the time. The casual fan, not the good fan, but the lower level of fandom. Well, you know, these guys are bums. These guys are, you know, lazy. And it's just nothing could be further from the truth. It's absolute hell to go through an ordeal like what Eric Stokes went through, where he has surgery not just on his knee, but his foot too, a double surgery. And then he has blood clots to the point where it has to put him in a wheelchair. And he's thinking himself at that point, I'm just going to be lazy and be in a wheelchair. No, man, that's like being injured. Like that's you have a it's debilitating at that point. And having to fight back from there to the point that he is now, right? And he went, you know, I asked him when the low point was. He said Denver last year. He's kind of on PUP to start training camp last year, has the hamstring injuries that delay him, finally gets a chance midway through, you know, third way through the season at Denver to play four special teams reps, and he's back on IR. And that, I mean, you got to watch the second half. That nothing about that was expected, and you have to start the process over. So here he is now, as Spoon said, getting first team reps on day one of camp. And so I think throughout the, you know, when last season ended with Eric Stokes on injured reserve, you had to wonder, where's his career going? Like, is this going to be a make or break type thing? And in many ways it is. He has to show it. The Packers didn't pick up his fifth round option as a first round pick, or his fifth year option as a first round pick for a reason. But he's got an opportunity here to be a starter alongside Jaire Alexander, and he's getting those reps. And if he stays healthy and he plays like the Eric Stokes that he showed with unlimited potential as a rookie, very few things could mean as more to this defense than that. That you're talking about two lockdown corners at that point on the perimeter. That's a huge deal. So it's going to be absolutely worth watching. But, you know, he feels after his trip to Madison to the Badger Athletic Performance, he feels like he's figured out how to – really it was the strength in his foot that he needed a much stronger foot to be able to – you know, it's the base of the body to support everything else. And he'll sit around, you know, when he's playing his PS5 or watching TV, just like picking up a golf ball with his foot and just little exercise, toe yoga, things like that, things that he wasn't doing before to ensure that, you know, it's the little things like that to ensure that he has a strong enough foot to support his weight as a player. But if he can stay healthy, that's a big deal for this Packers defense.
I feel like toe yoga would be the only kind of yoga that I could handle.
Yeah,
it's restricted just to my toes. I think I could maybe pull that off.
I had to look up what that was. I mean, I at first when he said that, I was like, that's not real. Like, toe yoga is a real thing. You got to like lift certain toes and like, it's just, I had no idea that existed.
Tom, you posted a photo of Josh Jacobs hanging out with some of the WWE guys at practice. I'm going to use some context clues that you are not a WWE person. And full disclosure, neither am I, but Braun Strowman was among the people there. There's a WWE event in Green Bay on Monday night. But Josh Jacobs feels like the right guy to be hanging out. Josh Jacobs has been out there a lot this offseason. He came to Milwaukee for a function where he's dressed in fireman's gear. He has been doing the interview circuit. I feel like he might be a guy that a lot of Packers fans warm up to pretty quickly, and that he does have a pretty good personality. What do you know of him? I mean, with Marshawn Lloyd out, he's like the only guy available here. What have you sort of observed from Josh Jacobs this offseason?
Well, it's really smart on his part, because he's replacing, you know, one of the most popular players of the last decade or close to it. in Aaron Jones. And so that's a big piano on your back to carry, to try to be Aaron Jones. And it doesn't sound like he's trying to be Aaron Jones. It sounds like he's trying to let people know who Josh Jacobs is, which I think is really smart. You know, from that standpoint, great. You know, I think he's doing a good job. Football wise, I got no clue. You know, ask me in September.
Sure.
And we'll see. I mean, the guy has led the league in rushing 2 years ago. So, you know, he's got some ability. He's a big man. He's a very big man, very powerful. But, you know, the Raiders let him go for a reason. Everybody gets let go for some reason or another. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got to prove himself. There's a prove it year for him to get back and show that he can be like a leading rusher type guy in the NFL.
You know, Spoon, along the lines of what you said, replacing Aaron Jones, I was walking out to the practice field today thinking, boy, it's going to be weird to be at a training camp practice without seeing a 33 with that big sombrero riding a bike. You know, I mean, it's certain things about Packers training camp, certain images get imprinted on what you expect, and that's one of them. Well, sure enough, Josh Jacobs is on the bike today, and I asked him after he was going to be on the bike tomorrow. He's like, I don't know, man. He hadn't been on a bike since sophomore year of high school, he said. It's been that long since he's ridden a bike. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to be on a bike tomorrow. But, yeah, it's probably not a coincidence that Josh Jacobs is on a bike day one, because you're right. Those are big shoes to fill, not just as a player, but impact to the community, the franchise, the fan base, and all that.
Do you, Ryan, think that if a child came to you with their bike and you were tasked with crossing Oneida Street to the Don Hudson Center, do you think you could do it?
You know what? Like, we scoff at it. Josh Jacobs is a professional athlete, but I kind of get the, it's a little, whoa, this is unstable. I'm on wheels. I'm not on my feet, you know? It's different. Could I do it? Yes. Would I make a viral video doing it because of how dorky I would look? Quite possibly. I'm not going to say it's smooth. It wouldn't be smooth, but I could do it.
All right. Tom, how do you feel about that?
I'd probably carry the kid's helmet and run along the side and let him ride the bike. Okay.
That sounds great. Tom, we'll close it down with a question that I've asked a variety of over the past several podcasts, but a question you still have, or a thing that you really expect to learn or know more about this week, especially this first week of practice. What's sitting there in your mind? What are you thinking about as these next days unfold?
Oof, man, what am I thinking about?
Lunch, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I probably the thing I'm most interested in is the offensive line rotation, just to see how they use Jordan Morgan. You know, starting to get the feeling, and I know I think Zach Tom feels this way, but he's a right tackle, and I think he wants to be their right tackle. I mean, maybe it's because he wants to get paid like a right tackle, but I just get the sense that, okay, he's their guy. He's plug him in there. And then, you know, all they got to really do is solve their right guard position. You know, I think Rasheed Walker will be okay. I think he'll be ready to start. And then, you know, maybe Jordan Morgan's just competing for the right guard. Maybe we're going to see guys moving all over the place. I mean, Sean Ryan played right guard and then he moved over to left guard. They got to figure out who can play where, and because there's going to be injuries and the such. But from a starting lineup standpoint, I'm starting to wonder if it's just much ado about nothing. Like maybe they're pretty close to their starting five.
Ryan, I'll ask the same question to you. What is it that you want to learn more about here this week?
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. Offensive line. I think, and I was even, look, it was because Zach Tom wasn't taking team reps, but I was walking off the practice field today talking with Pete Doherty, our colleague, saying it might be about time to actually get to know Andre Dillard. I'm not saying he's not going to be a starter, but he was getting the first team reps ahead of Jordan Morgan, and that's a big wild card there, right? I mean, who knows? His career to this point has been an absolute disappointment. He's not lived up to his draft stock as a first-round pick. With that said, he was a first-round pick for a reason. There's some tangibles there that NFL teams like, and if he can figure it out at some point, It sure looks like he's getting an opportunity to. I don't know if he will or not, but he's getting a chance. And I think that'll be very interesting because it changes the depth of this offensive line. And just even broader scope, Spoon's absolutely right. We're going to be seeing a lot of moving pieces. And when those start to settle and where they settle will be very, very interesting.
They are Tom Silverstein, Ryan Wood. You can find everything they have at PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. You should definitely follow them on Twitter because they'll be providing live updates over the next few days. We will be back with another podcast later this week, looking at some of the things that have developed during the first week of training camp. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. I will talk to you again very soon.